Hello and welcome to Unmasking. I'm your host, Alicia Trotwine. And today we are going to talk about empathy and communication. So let's dive right on in talking about using empathy to understand others better. So empathy is the ability to understand and share the feelings of others. And it's a crucial skill in building positive relationships. In today's episode, we will discuss why empathy is essential, how to develop empathy, and how to use it to understand others better. So when it comes to talking about empathy, empathy is so crucial because it helps us connect with others on a more deeper basis. When we can understand and share the feelings of others, we are better equipped to communicate effectively and build stronger relationships. And this includes with our children. When my children were younger, we had to go through a lot of different therapies. My children are autistic. And one of them was really learning to define empathy and be able to communicate because it was not something that they easily gathered. It didn't mean they didn't have empathy. They just didn't know how to relate it to others. And so to develop empathy, we have to practice active listening. So what does active listening mean? Well, active listening means paying attention to what others say without interrupting them or judging them. It also means reflecting on what we have heard and asking questions to clarify our understanding. Empathy is putting ourselves in other people's feelings, you know, the old phrase, walking in somebody else's shoes. Imagining how they feel in a particular situation, and then trying to understand their perspective. We can use empathy to better understand others by showing compassion and kindness. So when we respond to others with warmth and care, we create a safe and welcoming space for them to share their thoughts and feelings with us, which is important to have that key communication with our children, as well as other adults in our environments, right? So, because empathy is just such a crucial skill for building these positive relationships. So to develop this, we do have to practice active listening and putting ourselves in other people's shoes and showing compassion. But how do we go about doing that? Because sometimes we don't always understand that. Well, communicating effectively with teens can be challenging for parents, especially, and understanding how to, you know, explain to children what they're feeling and how they're feeling, because our children don't always innately know this feeling equals this emotion, this, you know, this word. So the first thing to do is make sure that you communicate with your kids that, you know, it's okay to feel any emotion. You know, there's a large range of emotions, from happiness to sadness to being elated about something to being frustrated or angry. These are all different emotions. All of them are okay to have. It's how I respond to those feelings is what becomes into question. You know, when it comes to communicating effectively with teenagers, though, it definitely can be a challenge for anyone, parents, teachers, and mentors. So to create a more open and understanding environment, it's essential to use effective communication strategies like I statements, as well as empathy. So we're going to go into discussing, you know, these strategies. I'm going to share with you some tips to help you communicate better with your children. So utilizing I statements to express your feelings. What are I statements? Well, I statements are a constructive way to communicate your feelings without being confrontational. I statements help reduce defensiveness and promote an open dialogue between you and the other person that you're speaking with. So instead of blaming or accusing, you know, someone, if you can frame your thoughts regarding how the situation affects you. So what does that look like? So give for example, instead of saying, "You never listen to me," try saying, "I feel unheard when you don't respond to what I'm saying." So another way to go about that, you could say, instead of saying you're always late, say, I worry when you don't arrive on time. So by doing this, you're giving this chance for, you know, your children to understand, and other people as well, whoever you speak with, to not become instantly defensive. Because what happens when someone comes at you and says, oh, you're always late, I don't like that. What do? Your instant is like, oh, I've been attacked. And it doesn't mean that it's a horrible thing always, but it gives you this, you know, that instantly you want to defend yourself. But when somebody comes to you and says, you know, I really worry when you don't arrive on time. And it gives an opportunity for more open dialogue, because at that point in time, you can explain what your worries are and say, you know, I'm worried that, you know, you might've been in an accident or something might've happened to you when you don't arrive on time. And it's explaining how you feel. You know, we have to practice active listening to do all this though. And, you know, by active listening, this means entirely focusing on their words. So avoiding interruption and responding with the appropriate body language, which I understand can be so hard. So this is where empathy comes into play. Empathy allows you to understand and share those feelings of others, right? So when you're speaking with your children, it's best to try to see the situation from their perspective. Acknowledge their feelings and validate their emotions. This doesn't mean that you're automatically going to agree with everything, but you're seeing it from how they see the world around them. By demonstrating empathy to them in these situations, you then create an environment of trust and understanding between you and them. So another important thing to do is to choose the right time and place for conversations. Timing and location are crucial for effective communication with children, especially teenagers. Choosing a time when both you are relaxed and both of you are relaxed and free from all distractions. Opt for a neutral location that offers privacy and comfort. So maybe this is an office or the kitchen when people are in there. This will help create a more open and receptive atmosphere for the conversation. The next thing you gotta do is ask open-ended questions. I have made that mistake so often as a parent, especially in my beginning years, that I would ask things like, how was your day? And what were the kids' immediate response? It was, oh, it was great. Oh, it was good. Conversation over. And so I had to learn how to ask open-ended questions instead. So by encouraging your kids to express their thoughts and feelings by asking open questions, you know, they require more than a simple yes or no answer. So inviting them in to elaborate on their experiences and their emotions by doing this. So for example, instead of asking, did you have a good day? Try asking something like, what was the best part of your day? Because this gives them an opportunity to tell you about everything. And you can also ask, well, what was the worst part of your day? Ask both and give them the opportunity to express the goods and the bads with you. You also want to be patient and flexible. So teenagers specifically undergo significant emotional and cognitive changes, sometimes making communication really challenging. Be patient and flexible, adapting your communication style as needed. Remember that your ultimate goal is to foster understanding and connection. Excuse me. So be open to trying new strategies, even if they might seem silly at the very beginning. The other thing you want to do is model what respectful behavior looks like. Show your teens how to engage in respectful communication by modeling it yourself. Maintain a calm demeanor. Avoid raising your voice. And refrain from using negative language. By demonstrating this respectful behavior, you set the stage for the more productive conversations. Now, the next one in today's world, and especially if you have multiple children, can be tough, but it's to stay solution focused. When conflicts arise, focus on finding the solution rather than assigning blame. So work with your team to identify the issue and brainstorm some potential solutions. This collaborative approach resolves conflicts way more efficiently and strengthens your relationship with your child. So one thing that I always want to try to do with my children, and sometimes I fail at it, but I do my best to encourage self-expression and individuality. So remember that teenagers are in a phase where they are exploring their identities and developing their sense of self. So encourage them to express their thoughts, feelings, and opinions, even if they differ from yours. By supporting their individuality, you help build their self-esteem and their confidence. And the next one I think is one of the most important parts of this, and it will help in so many conversations, but it's maintain a sense of humor. You know, a sense of humor can help diffuse tension and lighten the mood during difficult conversations. While taking matters seriously is essential, don't be afraid to laugh or make light of a situation when it's appropriate. This can create a more relaxed atmosphere and promote open dialogue. The next thing you want to do, though, is to be consistent and follow through. You know, when you're setting boundaries or making agreements with a teenager, be consistent in your expectations and follow through on any consequences if necessary. And these don't have to be negative consequences, but you know, if you say this is what's going to happen, if this doesn't happen, then you need to follow through with that. This demonstrates your commitment to maintaining a healthy and respectful relationship while teaching your teen about accountability and responsibility. You also want to make sure to keep your lines of communication open. This is so key because your kids need to know that you're there. You know, your teen, they need to know that you are always available to talk, even if they don't like opening up. You know, so try to check in with them regularly and express your willingness to listen whenever they're ready. By keeping that line of communication open, you can maintain a strong connection and ensure your teen feels supported. And I apologize, I gotta get a drink of water here. All right, so effective communication with teenagers is essential for building strong relationships and promoting mutual understandings. By using the I statements, practicing empathy, and employing the other tips outlined today, you can really create a more positive and open environment for conversations. By doing this, you'll also foster a deeper connection with your teen, helping them to navigate the challenges of adolescence with a greater confidence and support. I apologize. Whew. So having teenagers, it's not always an easy thing, but it's also a very rewarding thing. You know, we have 4 children. We have one who's no longer a teenager. That is a, you know, interesting stage of our lives to have a, you know, 20-year-old. But we also have, you know, a 16, a 15, and then our youngest is 8. And so we've had many years of parenting teens, and I will not lie to you. I know that there are white hairs on my head that I have to cover with dye because I got so stressed out. It's just, my kids used to drive me crazy, especially the first one. When you have multiple children, the first one always gets the rough end sometimes because they're kind of like, you know, I hate to phrase it this way, but like the test dummy. And so you're learning to navigate parenting in each of these stages. And so we made mistakes. There's no doubt. I still make mistakes. But the important thing that we have fostered is a great relationship. You know, my children know, especially my teenagers, know that they can come to me with any problem. It doesn't matter what the problem's about, whether it's, you know, something with school and friends, it's something about their bodies, talk about their identities, different things. They know that they can come to me and talk to me no matter what. And are there times where they delay talking to me? Sure, that happens. That's so normal, you know, because we all still get anxiety. You know, having anxiety about talking to someone about something that really stresses us out, that's hard. And so sometimes they don't talk right away. And that's why that open line of communication is so important. Because You know, you have to be able to provide this environment that when they are ready to talk, they know that you're safe to talk to, that you're not going to judge them and you're not going to interrupt them. And, you know, sometimes it can be hard for parents, especially to not be judgmental or interrupt, because the reality is, you know, sometimes they're telling us a story. We already know all of it. We already know the answer ahead of time that we're going to give, but it's not about getting to the solution the quickest. It's about that communication through the solution, giving them a chance to know that they can talk to you no matter what the problem is. You know, one thing my mom used to always do that I try to do with my kids now is when we'd have a question, if she did not know the answer, she was honest. And she just said, you know, I'm not really sure. Let's proceed with what we can do to figure that out. And we would go look it up. We would talk to someone. You know, we would find the answers together. And that open and honesty made it to where I knew I could ask her any weird question, you know. And sometimes it was, I mean, so random, you know, facts that I wanted to know about. But I was able to ask her and know that if she didn't know the question, she would help me. And we would find the answers together and work together to get to the solutions. And so that's something I've always fostered with my children because, you know, let's be honest, we don't know everything. None of us do. You know, we are all constantly learning to the day that we are no longer on this earth. We are constantly learning and evolving as human beings. And so it's important to show our children that it's okay not to know the answer. By, you know, modeling that, they get this great, you know, example of, oh, it's, I know that it's safe to talk to mom. I know it's okay that I don't know that. You know, we've had years that we've had some silly conversations that I had no idea. And, you know, my son will probably daily ask me something that I have no idea what the answer is. I'm like, you know, I don't know, kiddo, let me look that up. I mean, today he, my 8-year-old saw a TV show, and I'm not even sure if it really was what he thought it was. I think it was a turducken that they were trying to do, like a turkey duck camp thing. But the last thing that went into it was supposedly a pigeon flew into it. So what did my son ask me randomly, my 8-year-old? Mom, is it illegal to eat pigeons? And I'm like, you know, buddy, I don't know. Let's look it up. And so I looked up the answer. And just so you know, it's not illegal. But in a lot of areas, it is illegal to catch them. So, you know, in effect it is, but still. And, you know, but it was funny, but it was an opportunity for us both to learn. And he knows I can help him locate the answers. He sees me and how I research the answers, how I look up things, and gives him that, you know, model, you know, to go after later in life. And the reality is that not every conversation you're going to have with your teenager or your child is going to be really in-depth, and that's okay, you know. But sometimes there are going to be in-depth conversations. I still remember the probably most baffled conversation I had with my now 20-year-old. And she would have been, oh my goodness, she would have been 8 or 9. I mean, talking elementary school. And she comes home and we're eating dinner because at the point in time, my husband was working. You know, we only had the 3 children at the time. And so the 2 littles were in front of the TV watching. They had already eaten their little, you know, toddler meals. And she and I were eating, you know, a more adult meal at the counter. And we're sitting there eating. So we're both, you know, not facing each other. We're side by side. We're facing the living room with the kids. And she just randomly, while we're eating, goes, hey, so what is sex? My eyes, oh, I wish I could have seen my own face. I was like, you know, just like, what, where did this come from? And so like, I stared and I was like, where did you hear that at? Trying to keep eating and thanking God that I was looking forward so she couldn't see my face completely as I'm like trying to compose myself of how to answer this. And she'd heard it on the playground. And so by asking more questions, like, you know, instead of just assuming like, oh, that's not a conversation to talk about, don't say that or whatever, you know, or talk to somebody else about it. You know, it was, let me ask. And by asking, I learned that she really didn't know much. She heard a new word and wanted to know. And so I gave her a very age appropriate small answer. And, you know, that was it. There was nothing, you know, huge about the conversation. It wasn't in detail, graphic, or anything like that. It just was, you know, the very, very little bits. And, you know, that was it. And then the conversation was done. I'm sure we talked about something random, like a TV show right after that. But, you know, it opened the door, though, that by responding to her in that way, even though I was not ready for that answer, that question to come, it opened the door that she knew that no matter what the conversation was, especially on stuff like that, she could come to me. And I wouldn't judge. I wouldn't interrupt her. I would listen and answer her questions. You know, we have our own beliefs that we've developed, but even our own beliefs, we realize you have to go back and realize what our parents believed and taught us versus what you as an adult believe now, it doesn't always match up perfectly. It doesn't always line up. So even what you were taught though changes. And so what our children learn from us is that you can show an example of what, you know, if they ask, you know, what is your opinion of something? You can be honest, but if they're asking for advice on something, it's just giving them straightforward advice, giving them answers, you know, and, you know, working together to find the answers. And if it's a conversation that you really don't feel comfortable having, because maybe, you know, you don't know how to respond or, you know, something like that, you can still let them know, you know what, I don't know the answer, or I don't feel really comfortable. It's not a bad thing, but I don't feel comfortable enough to feel like I can educate you on the answer. Let's go see so-and-so and have them help us discuss this together. You know, and that could be a therapist, a counselor, a church, you know, leader, someone, you know, to help you with the topic that you're looking for. And that way, you know, they still know they can come to you, even if you are struggling with how to communicate it in an effective way, you know, to leave that door open and give them the opportunity to, you know, still learn, to still be educated and see that you're still going to be there for them. You know, parenting is tough. Let's face it, it's just tough. It's not an easy job, but it is so rewarding. You know, seeing your children become, go from these little bitty babies that are sweet and cute and adorable to developing as a human being and growing into a beautiful young adult, that it is an amazing thing to see the things that, you know, they achieve in this world. Because what we want is our children to go back out into the world and not only be good humans, we want them to do better than we did. And it doesn't mean that we have to have an expectation of what that is. We just want them to be happy and successful in whatever they want to do. And so by having empathy, open communication, those, you know, asking those I statements, asking open questions, things like that, we are giving them the opportunity for, you know, better opportunities to just develop as a human being, to communicate with us, and to make parenting a little bit more easy, because we've all been there where we get frustrated and it's hard. And when we're not frustrated, we're all calm and peaceful. It's so much easier to communicate, right? So I hope that today's episode brought you a little bit of, you know, supports in areas that you needed it, and that you can use these techniques in, you know, your future parenting endeavors. Every week we are here on the Win-Win Women Network, 11 a.m. Central Time. And, you know, over on our podcast and our website, themomkind.com, you can come over and check out all of our great parenting articles. You know, we have everything from parenting autistic children to, you know, supporting your LGBTQ plus child. We have, you know, different things on helping you as a parent dealing with caregiver stress and burnout, your mental health and overall health. We've got a wide range of topics to help you, you know, go through your parenting and life journey together with peace and happiness on that, right? And if you have questions that you want answered, whether that be on autism, parenting, wellness, just overall lifestyle, please go ahead and submit them to my email, and I'll be happy to discuss them on another episode. So you can do that at admin at themomkind.com. And those will be in the show notes, as well as links to all of our socials, whether you're watching here on the Win-Win Women Network, listening in on our podcast, or catching this episode later on YouTube or Facebook. Well, I hope that you guys have a beautiful and wonderful week. Spring is finally sprung. The flowers are starting to pop out, and it's time to get some of that fresh spring air and walk around. Well, until next time, we'll see you then.